this week on Art of the Air, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday with a special Part 2 feature interview with singer-songwriter Kenny White, sharing more details about his storied career and several of his heartfelt songs. Our spotlight is on Art Barn's School of Arts Holiday Gift Gallery with Amy Navardakis, sharing the many last-minute great gift ideas made by local artisans.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at LakeshorePublicRadio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available on our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our shows are available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for more information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight. She's been with us many, many times before. She's going to talk about things that are going on in the Art Barn School of Art down there in Valparaiso. Amy Davis Navardakis. Welcome back, Amy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yay, Amy.
Hi, Esther.
Well, you have lots of things going on in the holiday season. You've had a busy year this year, but tell us about what you've got going on in December.
Sure. So we are having our fifth annual holiday gift gallery. So that means that the exhibition that we have in the gallery is geared toward holiday giving. So it's a lot of smaller pieces and things that are, you know, set at that price point that, you know, makes it more accessible for, you know, gifts. So there's, you know, smaller paintings, you know, ceramic works, woodworking. So it's a nice event that, you know, is kind of new since I started. So
Amy, like during this, and it runs until like December 31st, during mm-hmm. that time, are you accepting new artists into the gift gallery or?
Well, I think that most of that call is, it's kind of done, but I think that if there's someone that really wants to get, you know, to be involved or get into it, you know, they can certainly give us a call and let us know. So, yeah, I mean, and
because you'll be selling out, so there'll be room, right?
Yeah. There should be some room. But, you know, even, you know, opportunities for next year too. So
great. Perfect. So like an existing artist that sells maybe several pieces, you would invite them to put more pieces back in than for the. Like,
yeah.
Okay. And you only have like a few days left because this ends on December 31st. So they need mm-hmm. to get in there and do that. And so it sounds great.
Absolutely. It's not too late for Christmas.
Yes, it is. You can get those last minute shopping going. So what do you have coming down in 2023? What's coming up for Art Barn School of Art?
Well, probably the first thing that's going to be coming up is our spring session of classes is going to start. They should be starting in February, and there'll probably be some more offerings starting in March. And this session goes until the end of May. So it covers the whole entire spring.
Do you have your artist in residence chosen for next year?
You know what? We don't. We have a few things that we have to upgrade in our facility to really better, you know, be able to better handle an artist in residence. I'm glad you asked about it because it was an exciting program that we launched last year. But, you know, there's some work lighting and some space issues. You know, everyone knows about, you know, we need more space for that. So, you know, we're struggling with those issues right now before we invite somebody back.
Excellent. And so, I'll have your regular plan things all the way into like the Art Blitz coming next summer and everything. Any changes in that? Are you going to still run it 2 days or how's that going to work?
I think there are some changes on the horizon for this year. I think probably it'll be a single day event. So that Art Blitz happens every September in the third weekend. So we would probably go on Saturday. There's a lot of planning that still has to happen with it, but it's a great way to experience Art Barn if you've never been here before, to kind of see what kind of program offerings we have and just to kind of get a feel for the space. And it's a lot of fun, you know, just to, you know, kind of bring your kids or bring your friends to check it out.
Your surrounding property is just so gorgeous. I mean, yeah. It's such a great experience.
Yeah, it's really it's lovely every time of year. So yeah, it's you know, we invite anybody out to, you know, experience it.
You got a new piece of equipment that has totally not art related. That so tell us a little bit about that. I saw that on Facebook and it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So are you talking about something orange and something
right?
Yeah, okay.
That you're right on.
yeah. So last year our major fundraising push was to raise funds for a new tractor. So all of the work on the 69 acres that we have was done by an old lawn tractor, decades old, good old John Deere, but it was due to be replaced. So we were, you know, thanks to you know, some corporate funders and some mostly individual funders, we were able to buy a new Kubota utility tractor. And so that is actually serving us well. We mow with it. And we also are able to, you know, move debris or, you know, move things around as we need to. And we're even going to plow with it too. So
great. You can even do crop circles as art. How about that? That'd be an idea.
Yeah, that would be something all new to do with that.
Well, diverging a little bit from Art Barn, you're also, and I am also, on the Valpo Creative Council. Maybe touch base on some of the things that are happening with that.
Yeah, so I think one of the most exciting initiatives that the Valparaiso Creative Council has been working on is in tandem with the city, and the city is working on a new skate park that has some, you know, really nice visibility there at the old fairgrounds near the Butterfield Pavilion, and the Valparaiso Creative Council is working on those artistic elements that the city is hoping to be able to incorporate into that park. So it's an exciting thing to be involved with because we feel like we can, you know, reach a whole different audience with that.
Excellent. And tell us about, yeah. They have a new executive director.
Yes, the VCC hired Jessica Correll, who was a, sorry about that noise, was formerly, or I with the Flint Lake School, she was an art teacher there. So it's really great to have her on board. She, you know, she brings a lot of energy to the position and hopefully will help raise our profile too.
That's great. So we have just about 30 seconds left here. So tell us about the dates and ending date, what you got and where you're at and website and all that.
So go to our website. We do have a juried art exhibition that we're accepting entries for. So go to the website and learn more about that. You can also learn more about our Art Blitz and about our exhibitions at artbarnschool.org.
Very good. That's Amy Davis, Nardakis, and she is, you can also contact the Art Barn at 695 North 400 East in Valparaiso. Amy, thank you for coming on Art in the Air Spotlight.
Yeah, thank you for the update, Amy.
Sure. Thank you, Esther.
You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
We are so happy to welcome back Kenny White to Art on the Air. Kenny has a long and successful musical journey, a singer, songwriter, poet, troubadour, accomplished pianist and guitarist. He has produced and arranged hundreds of commercials for TV and radio. Kenny's commercial work enabled him to work with artists renowned and varied as Linda Ronstadt, Gladys Knight, Mavis Staples, Ricky Skaggs, Aaron Neville, Judy Collins, Sean Colvin, Peter Wolf, Merle Haggard, Keith Richards, and Tom Jones. His current album, Long List of Priors features David Crosby as a guest musician. Kenny, thank you for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome. It is so fabulous to see you again.
I'm happy to be here again. Hello to you both.
And we appreciate thank you coming you. Back on. We split that previous interview between you and BJ Lederman because you guys had a concert together, which I actually came to see in South Bend, and it was a lot of fun. I told you off air, but I'll say it during the show. It was just like sitting in a living room watching two guys having fun with the piano on stage. It was just such a fun evening and everything. So great. So I'm glad
you felt that way.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it too. I had not been to Notre Dame before this. So
it's a beautiful campus. Yes.
Very nice. Yeah.
Well, just so if someone hasn't caught our previous interview, tell us a little quick rundown of your origin story, and then we'll move on to that. And some, also we're going to share some of your music.
Well, I quit college after a year. Got to college. I didn't want to go. My father thought it was his responsibility. I was ADD, although nobody knew it at the time, especially when I was 10 years old and they put me on Valium for a year instead of the opposite of what it should have been. So that was a wasted year. And after about a year of college, I said, I just want to play music. And much to my parents' dismay. And that's what I did. I moved to Boston with my band and worked various jobs. But that actually was the last time I punched the clock. 21 years old was the last time I punched the clock. So I got lucky. And I was able to do this my whole life.
So what were they encouraging you to do? Like,
anything
so you, I am
else.
Assuming anything else but music. So did you the whole band thing in high school, right? And
yeah, we were ostensibly, I was in the first Grateful Dead cover band in the United States before even the Grateful Dead were filling shows, and they were playing the Cafe Agogo in New York, and not even filling big places, and we were a cover band to a band that nobody even wanted to hear then. So I was in high school, I had my band, and then in college we moved up to Boston because we were, even though I was born in New York City, we were all intimidated by trying to make it with a band there. So we went up to the more colloquial Boston, and I landed there for about 11 years.
And so when did the songwriting become part? So were you writing poetry and stories?
I was writing songs, but I was unable in my 20s. I just did a couple of gigs with Jonathan Edwards last weekend, and Jonathan and I played together back in from the mid 70s on, mm-hmm. for many years. And he was always such a proponent of my being center stage and doing my own material, opening his shows, which were always packed. And I thought I was writing interesting songs, but I was unable to make the connection from the heart to the page, which I knew existed because I listened to Joni's Blue record and I felt it. And I listened to first Jackson Brown record and I felt it, and a bunch of others. And yet either I didn't have the courage or the experience or just the talent to realize that those emotions could be transferred to the page if you're brave enough to expose them. And so what I was writing were interesting and clever songs with a little piano flashiness that always wowed the crowd. But I could tell it didn't move me. The songs didn't move me at the time, and I'm pretty sure they didn't move them. They just kind of reacted positively, but it didn't mean the same to me. And until cut to 20 something years later and therapy and a divorce. And all of a sudden I'm writing different kinds of lyrics and lyrics that actually meant something to me.
Yeah. They seem quite autobiographical,
they are.
Like when I'm listening to it, because so many people, they're not necessarily autobiographical, but you still are moved by it. But when I listen to you sing, it really feels like you're telling your story, that it's very personal.
Pretty much. I mean, that's, it's easier for me to do it in a lyric than in person. And, that became the place where I was able to relieve myself of those, whatever angst or whatever joys, probably more angst than joy. But
perspective.
But still, it was a connection to my heart, a direct connection. And even when I was writing through the eyes of other people, which I tried to do a few times, But that's like having a dream, you know, you're not really dreaming about those people. It's you that, you know, you're the director and you're all the actors in the dream. It's not them. So pretty much even when I'm writing about other people, it's still my interpretations and my
and so own. how does it come about though? Like, is it you know, you're taking a walk and something pops into your mind? Do you consciously set time in your day where you sit down and you contemplate what you're?
I wish I had the discipline to do that, and I just don't. I think I would have a lot more. It'd be a lot more productive day for me if I did that. If I set, first of all, if I got up at a decent hour, you know, I'll get up at, I'll go to sleep at 3 and get up at 10 or something. And when I did commercials or when I had to write anything on consignment and I knew I had to get it done, I would set the alarm for 5:30 in the morning, wake up, have a cup of coffee, and it would be done in an hour. And that is definitely the most, I don't know, the alpha waves were just moving and there were no distractions. And yet
yeah, but were you still going to bed at 3 and waking up at 5 then?
Well, probably not quite at 3, but I was, you know, I still couldn't go to bed before 1 probably. But that would be the time I would get something done. And it's most of the songs I think I had written were either late at night or very early in the day. One or two, I think I remember writing in the afternoon, but the afternoon is just a terrible time for me.
Yeah, my creative time is very much like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, either that or 6 in the morning.
2 in the morning or, yeah.
Kenny, after listening to your music, and it seems like it's a lot of different genres, but what would you self-describe your genre of music? I mean, or, you know, how would you say, you know, is it pop, it's folk?
I've been called eclectic.
So okay, well, I can buy
I'll go
that.
With that. It really was, I tried to get a record deal. I had some really good contacts when I was in my, like I say, that more demographically viable in my 20s. And I remember going to Columbia a couple times and they said, your stuff is really good, but you're all over the map. And we don't know what to do with this. We wouldn't know how to market it. And I said, but isn't that what you do? And they said, no, we, you know, you have to have a certain audience. And right now you're really scattered, even though I think every song has some quality. Anyway, I cut to a couple of years later and I'm in the jingle business, and that negative in the record business was a complete opposite in the jingle business, because I was getting called to write a classical piece in the morning and a jazz piece at night and a rock and roll piece in the afternoon. And I didn't just know how to do them. I felt them all. I mean, I was totally involved in all of them. So it allowed me a flourishing to flourish in that genre.
And kept things really interesting.
Sure did. Well, we want to start with one song. It's from the Symphony in 16 Bars, Annabelle. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll play it for our audience.
Annabelle was a cautionary tale, I would say. It's from my second record, and I think it was pretty much, you don't want to get involved with me. I think the best thing you can do, I think the best thing you can do for yourself is take off before it gets too deep and you can't do it. And it was me kind of reflecting, but also giving that warning to the other person.
Well, let's take a listen to Kenny White's Annabelle, Symphony in 16 Bars album.
I got no more stories to tell you here tonight. I've relived all my glory. Should've left this bar while it was light. Oh, but Annie, babe, those smokes are gonna wreck that creamy skin of yours. I'll give you 5 to 1 that you don't even taste them anymore. But Annabelle, I hope you split this town before it kicks the daylights out of you. babe, you're like a jewel I found. I've never known a heart near as true. And I would sooner swallow fire than be the reason for your tears to fall. It's coming to the wire. You better go before you lose it all. Hey, look at all these posers. We think the world owes us when we're kids. My hair was long, my hands were strong, and I can show you pictures. I already did. When we listened to the saxophone, as sweet as the day they laid it down. You know it kills me when you get that look, like you just discovered sound. But Annabelle, I hope you split this town before it kicks the daylights out of you. Oh babe, you're like some jewel I found. I've never known a heart near as true. I would sooner swallow fire than be the reason for your tears to fall. Oh, it's coming to the wire. You better go before you lose it all. I said it's coming to the wire. You better go before you lose it all. Yeah, you better go. I say I better go before you lose it all.
That was Annabelle. And, you know, that kind of had a folkish overtone to it in some ways, like a folkish ballad in the way I think it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I kind of heard it as the band when I cut it. I felt like it was, it harkened back to some of the early days of the band. But you know, folk audiences is where I do 99% of my shows, because even though a lot of my songs are not really quote unquote folk under the umbrella, my lyrics require listening, and those are the audiences that tend to really want to listen and pay attention to lyrics. So I end up playing for a lot of folk audiences.
Yeah, because there's stories. It's not just like the same three lines repeated every fourth line, you know.
No, so it's work. They gotta do their own work, and you know, it's not just something you know you show up and be entertained at the end of the week. They're gonna have to put in some time, and hopefully it'll be worth their time. So I've been very appreciative of the responses, especially when I open shows and people don't know me, and I have a mouthful of lyrics for them to digest, and they do it, and they give it back generously. So that's been, you know, real pleasing, especially in like front of Judy Collins audiences, and Judy and Stephen Stills. I opened that whole tour, and a lot of those people didn't want to know about an opening act, you know, even if I was billed. And then you have to come out and sell them within the first 3 or 4 minutes. And fortunately I was able to do that. So it was great.
What are some of your musical influences that you look to, you know, to kind of, I mean, you've developed a completely style that's all your own, but, you know, people that you look to and say, oh, I like that.
Well, Well, there are numerous. You know, lyrically, I've always admired Paul Simon and Tom Waits and Randy Newman. I think they're top of the crop. And Joni, as far as chronicling the heart, I don't think anyone's ever done it better. But Simon, when I first heard the Bookends record, I was still pretty young, maybe a teenager, not even. And I noticed how the lyrics and the music just fit together like a glove. And I had not been privy to that before. You know, it didn't hit me like it did on that record. And I said, oh, wow, this is another dimension. And later on, hearing the early Randy Newman stuff, the 12 songs, and then Good Old Boys, which I think is one of my Desert Island discs for sure. And he could be so brutally honest, yet humorous and poignant at the same time. And I never tried to do any of those things, but I found if you're being true, taking inventory of what's in your heart and being true to what's in there, it's going to come out the way your personality is, which is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, sometimes sad. Yeah,
like Leonard Cohen, boy oh boy.
Very much so.
I know BJ at the concert kind of compared your lyrics to Bob Dylan, you know, the terms of the depth that they have and the stories that they tell. And, you know, I remember he threw that out at the concert. I don't know if you caught that when you were off stage or.
I didn't, but I'm not insulted by that by any means. I think Bob was a big influence, especially, you know, those early years. I couldn't, when I first heard people that could write, you know, when I first started buying records, they were, of course, cover songs and pop songs when I was really young. And then, you know, I heard the Byrds' first record and Dylan's first record. And I said, oh, man, this is another world. It took me decades before I understood how to actually do it or be part of that club, even if it's not necessarily in the same level of clubness. That's all I wanted.
Well, I would disagree with that, but
yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you.
Do you miss the jingle writing? I mean, that in some ways that's a high pressure thing, and yet have to produce a product pretty quickly. And do you ever miss that doing?
No, those? I don't miss it because I did it for about 18 years solidly, and it was high pressure, and because the money was very good, they expected it. They didn't, you know, they didn't treat you too preciously. You know, it was a job, and you had to come through and produce it and make it great. And if they didn't buy it, you know, I'd put a lot of thought and heart into some of the arrangements, and I would feel the sting when something didn't win or something lost. You know, you mentioned earlier working with Mavis. I flew Mavis in to do a demo. That's how much clout I had for a while to do a jingle demo, and they didn't buy it. And it was like, are you kidding me?
I know. Like, I read that story and I was like, oh,
you gotta
my
be crazy.
Gosh.
You know, I did I think it was Greyhound Bus. I wrote this really cool song and I got Sean Colvin and Mark Cohen to sing a duet. They didn't buy it and they put some drivel on the air. And those are the times that stung. But generally, I knew what I was doing there. I was a hired contractor and we got paid handsomely for it, but we worked, and it was a lot of pressure, and I was happy not to have that pressure anymore.
You should finish that Mavis Staples story too, because it has like sort of a second part, I think, where she's like, all right, let's go. Do you got another one for me?
Oh, yeah. She said, you know, she was, first of all, she said, asked her if we could fly her sister in as well. I said, sure. You know, I don't care. It's not my money. And, and so we flew she and her sister. And she just couldn't have been more generous, you know. And she sang this. It was a song for Heartbeat of America for Chevy. It was an arrangement. And she sang it within 15 minutes. And then she said, what else you got? And I said, oh, man, if I had known, I would have written something this morning. So I could have had her. And then on my last record, on Long List of Priors, I wrote a song called Charleston about the shootings in Charleston. And I was going to have Mavis sing the duet. And I hadn't worked with her in quite a while. And so I called the people I knew and I said, well, hold on, you know, she's got a busy schedule, blah, blah, blah. And I got my friend Ada Dyer, who was a Motown artist years ago, to sing the demo for her. And Ada is a fabulous singer. And Ada did the demo and I said, you know, I love Mavis. I don't think it's going to be better than this. and so I stopped pushing too hard to have Mavis sing it, even though it would have been nice to have her name on the record. But Ada, if you check it out, of course, that's not one of the songs you have. But
you're listening to Art on the Air with our guest today, Kenny White, on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
No, but we do have from the long list of priors, we do have another bell unanswered. So tell us a little about that and we'll listen to it.
Another unrequited.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how old you are. You know, you can still, when you're in relationships, or you also see relationships of friends of yours and you know that they're right, but for some reason or another, somebody thinks they're doing the right thing by not getting into it. And that was what that song's about. And talking about people who flew in to sing on a record, Crosby came in and he had flown across country. And I had him sing on the first song on that record, Road Less Traveled. And then he said, what else you got? nothing, but let me see. And so another bell unanswered, I did not imagine with a harmony vocal, but we put him on it and it sounds great.
It sounds so wonderful. Your two voices work really, really well together. So and his is very distinctive. You can tell that it's him, even if you don't know that.
He is very distinctive, yeah.
So let's listen. Long list of priors from your 2016 album of Kenny White, Another Bell Unanswered.
Tried hard to be strong for you, so your path was clear. All I did was long for you and wish you'd come back here. Each morning sun would promise hope. To me it said, okay, get up, time for your heart to start to break again today. Somewhere along the line, your love divided into two. A match between desire and what you thought was right to do. Is Mercury in retrograde? Did the stars fall out of line? I need a better reason then. It just was not our time. Now you turn the page and you send your best to me. Was it a momentary journey or a broken destiny? Another bell unanswered, another unplayed song. If our fate was in the heavens this time, the heavens got it wrong. Where we'll be standing a couple years from now. My boyish looks long abandoned, though I still pretend somehow. The day always seems to come when hope no longer springs, and all those lovely notes must then return to their strings. But every now and then, clear out of the blue, something will remind you how much more there was to do. Might be out there in the shadow as you pull the evening blinds. You'll wonder where he is and if you ever cross his mind. Thank you. the Greggies call, and winter finds its voice, and the leaves will fall as if they had a choice. Just another bell unanswered, another unplayed song. If our fate was in the heavens this time, if our fate was in the heavens this time, the heavens got it wrong.
And that was Another Bell Unanswered.
And I need a better reason than just it was not our time. That's right. Like such a good line.
That one actually had some, I'll call it kind of a mellow country-ish feel to it too. I don't know if that's what you intended, but I was sitting there going, well, this is kind of a mellow country almost.
Well, it's melodic for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was a big country music fan, and the old stuff.
The old stuff,
like,
yeah.
I don't like any of the new stuff, except I guess if Jason Isbell is called country, I like Jason Isbell, and I like Chris Stapleton.
Right.
But I don't like any of the productions of most of the new country. Mm-hmm. But back in the days of George Jones and Lefty Frizzell and Merle, Marty Robbins was like the second single I ever bought when I was a kid, or I got my father to buy it for me. I loved it. I didn't know where it came from. My parents sure were not into country music. They were more into ethnic stuff and Belafonte and Miriam Makeba and show tunes. But somewhere along the line, melodic music and folk and country got into my blood.
Right. Well, and isn't what you say about country, it's really become country pop. Is like
very much
so. And it's a whole different thing. And of course, like Esther alluded to before, is, you know, they say a few lines and then, you know, go to the bridge, come back and back and forth. And there's not a lot of story to songs. Yeah. No story there usually, you know. It's,
and the productions are formulated and as well. And I went down there to record a couple jingles, one with Kathy Mateo, one with Ricky Skaggs. And I went down there and with my engineer, and he started moving the drum mics. And I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I want to put the mic." "Oh, no, you don't move those. You know, every drum sound on every record is going to have that sound." And it's like, whoa, that's really pushing it to the max. I wasn't used to that, nor do I really like it. But I don't think that was the case back in the George Jones and Tammy right. days and early Loretta Lynn and stuff.
So I want to, if you want to talk about touring, I would love to talk about that. So what was it like going on for you, going on the Linda Ronstadt Living in the USA tour?
Well, I was just playing. I was a sideman at the time, so it was a different story. It was with Livingston Taylor. And
did you like that? I guess what I'm alluding to is just the lifestyle of doing that. How did you feel about that? Did you enjoy the time?
I loved it.
Oh, good.
I absolutely loved it. I was 24 years old and a kid in the candy store. You know, I was, it was one of the best tours of the year you could be on. And
yeah.
And Livingston and I had sort of become closer over the past year. I met him maybe the year and a half prior to that. And he said, "Oh, I got this whole tour, the Linda's tour." And we'd go out there and play like for 40 minutes a night. And then I'd sit and watch she and the band, which was Don Grolnick, one of my favorite piano players in the world, who's passed on many years ago. Russ Kunkel on drums and Kenny Edwards and Waddy Wattel. It was quite a band. And just getting to watch that every night, you know, in my 20s, plus, you know, all the perks of playing a good gig.
and then I read that Europe has discovered you and you frequently go out there to play. So how did that all transpire? And
it pretty much transpired through Judy Collins, who brought me there to open for her. The first, she signed me to her record label in 2005. And by 2006, you know, we were touring all over England and Sweden. We went to Germany to do radio shows, and she was so generous with me. Every radio show was, come on, do it with me. And, you know, I'm going to introduce them to your music. And so by the time all that subsided a few years later, I was able to call a few people and still had a bunch of fans from mailing lists and could drum up, you know, enough people to come see me. And the audiences there are very different. They're just, I shouldn't say more appreciative, but they're less jaded, especially, you know, living in New York. It's much more of an event. They're very, very respectful of the artists and they're there and they really want to make it
to listen.
Yeah. Non-judgmental, I guess, you know, I guess most good audiences are non-judgmental. You know, nobody shows up not wanting to like you. So at least I hope not.
Well, yeah, and that's true of almost all performance space. They want you to succeed on stage. They very seldom come to see you fail. And so I know that in like theater, if there was a mistake, the audience is like with you on that. Oh, no, it's okay. We'll keep going. So I'm sure it is with your experience.
And the mistakes actually often contribute to breaking down that wall too.
Sure.
Forgetting a lyric. Or I remember one time not that long ago, I forgot something and I kept going, sitting there, and the audience, they weren't getting paranoid or they weren't anxious for me, but I pulled out my phone, I Googled my name.
Went to your website with the lyrics,
found them, put the phone away, and they loved it. You know, it was much more of a camaraderie after that. I think it actually picked up the whole night.
It is a beautiful thing. So now I think we want to visit your album, Comfort in the Static. And the song is going to be Who's Gonna Be the One? Can you give us some insight?
I can. This was me writing about someone else. and in this case, I took it's about Peter Wolf. And it's funny because, you know, I allude to a record of Jay Giles' band, Monkey Island. I said, you can carve into your deepest vein and still be stranded on Monkey Island. Meaning I've produced the last four Peter Wolf releases, and they're extremely deep, and thoughtful and meaningful and profound records. And yet, he's always going to be known as Giles, you know, the lead singer of Giles, even though these records are, in my estimation, far, far surpass that musically, you know. And so he and I are real good friends, and I knew a bit of his story, and I put it into a song. And ironically, you know, one of the great rockers and frontman for rock bands in the world has a folk song after written about him, but I think he really liked it. And I tried to record it in a Tim Hardin vein. So I loved Tim Hardin's records. And the guy that I wrote, that I had write the strings, I said, listen, a lady came from Baltimore and Reason to Believe. And this is the kind of string arrangement. And this is the kind of feel I'm looking for, more of a Tim Hardin folky, but in a kind of a different sense.
So let's take a listen to it from the Comfort and Static album, Who's Gonna Be the One?
You brush against fate at least once a day. At night you tempt the ghosts of all the close calls I can say. Love scared you the most. Mother taught you to be tough. Your father showed you tender. On their own, neither one's enough. Sometimes you fight, sometimes surrender. You're gonna be the one to save the day. And I believe that's what you're here to do. But when the lamps go out and the day's work is done, who's gonna be the one to save you? You know your story and you know it well. You've walked with kings and bombs. It's in between the lines you tell. That's where the real story comes. With a diamond cutter's eye and nothing left to chance, you don't let a soul get by without at least a passing glance. You're gonna be the one to save the day. Yeah, I believe that's what you're here to do. Though you might lose a step, you will never be outrun. But who's gonna be the one to save you? You hear the sound the hardwood makes, moans and creaks and it bites. I know those floors have felt the weight of a thousand sleepless nights. Yeah, you do your best to change, and they do their best to keep you silent. You can carve into your deepest vein and still be stranded on Monkey Island. The few you still can trust, John Coltrane, Hank Snow. So let's just raise a glass for them who time has frozen the page. The days gone by when men were men and all the world was not a stage. You're gonna be the one to save the day. Yeah, I believe that's what you're here to do. But when the last drops of bourbon mix with the rising sun, who's gonna be the one to save you? Who's gonna be the one to save you?
And back from a Comfort and Static album.
Kenny, your lyrics are just amazing. I mean, like, with a diamond cutter's eye and nothing left to chance. I mean, just like really.
Thanks, sister.
Yeah.
And that's Peter. I mean, Peter is quite a, you know, it's, I didn't make anything up in that song. I just kind of observed it and wrote it down. But yeah.
You're listening to Art on the Air with our guest today, Kenny White, on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. And on WVLP 103.1 FM.
Well, we're almost ready to wrap up here, but we also want to play out with 4,000 Reasons to Run from also the Long List of Priors. Tell us a little bit about that and also anything else that's going on in your life that's coming up. And again, remind our audience how to find you online and everything like that.
You can find me at kennywhite.net if you're so inclined. And you can get all the records there as well. I have 4.5 CDs. The half is an EP called Never Like This, which has a political bent to it. I imagine you might know which way it bends, but you know, I've had some people come up and said, I'm going to buy the other 4 records. But that's only in the South. And 4,000 Reasons is one of the two, I'd say, I call them vignette songs, which I'm not totally comfortable writing. I think there's a, I always like an arc and a through line to these songs. I like a beginning, middle, and end, and have someone. I appreciate music. I prefer songs and gravitate to songs where I know something about the artist or the writer at the end of the song. Not necessarily autobiographical, but something that I feel I know them better. And so most of the songs I write have that through line. And two of the songs on the last record, Road Less Traveled and this one, 4,000 Reasons to Run, they were pretty much vignettes, the verses, three different scenarios that don't follow a through line, but they essentially still about the heart and life and all its foibles. So
yeah, it's so emotional.
Well, Kenny, thank you so much for coming on Art in the Air. We're running out of time. We're going to listen to 4,000 Reasons to Run to add from Long List of Fires. Thanks again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Carillon bells chime in the mist. You want to give in, but you need to resist. Still, you open the latch in case love shows up. One strike of the match and the whole thing goes up. You weep like a willow, you move like a cat. You're gonna put someone's heart out playing like that. Yesterday's kiss makes me shiver tonight. Something so crazy and perfectly right. And the jukebox is telling me I am just wanting to line up. Hey, where do I sign up? This bar is full of sad sacks, dogs on the loose, beer guts and bad backs from years of abuse. Hey, now don't take your freedom for granted. This song, these hats, the attitudes, man, I can't stand. Caught her, one foot in paradise, one only sorta. I'm self-medicating and skating up hills. This wine is misleading, I brought the wrong pills. And the piano won't give me a thing that I need today. It's got a mind of its own, either I bleed or it's gonna play all the same crap that we've heard before. And we really don't need to hear anymore. You haven't cut me up bad enough yet. I got one or two veins that haven't been left. It's a prize fight, I barely can stand this. I'm still on my feet in the tenth, on my way to the canvas. Infinity before I'd retire. This unholy trinity, you, me, and hell's fire. I'm staring at four kings and still want to fold. I got so much to look at and nothing to hold. Well, I'm not gonna fight you if that's what you came for. You know how I feel, so if it's not the same for you, go now. Cause love never wavers. If you don't see that, don't do me any favors. I wish I liked whiskey more than I do. It sure helps soften the volume of you. And I might have seen the clues from day one when you gave me your heart and 4,000 reasons to run. Thank you. the volume of you. And I might have seen the clues from day one when you gave me your heart and 4,000 reasons to run. 4,000 reasons to run. All 4,000 reasons to run.
I'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. We would like to thank our current supporters and underwriters, which include regional art patron Mary Levan and Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.